huge news, guys, that happened last week, as is the Marvel movie news want to do. James Gunn returns to Guardians Volume 3. We cannot make that up. It's 100% true. Endgame gets a new description, and we're taking lots of fan questions today on Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Good afternoon to you, our merry Marvelites. How y'all doing? This is a fun week. We're gonna. It's a slower news week.
Yeah.
We are the Marvel Movie News, muting our phones and coming to you live from Mickey Mouse's secret meeting between the Avengers and the X-Men.
Finally.
I'm Zach Wilson. This is Zia Anderson.
Hi guys.
This is Christian Blatt.
Oh.
We are now specifically corporate shills of. Just Disney. I guess Sony a little bit.
Yeah, we still have to give it up for Venom and the Spider-Verse.
That's
and
true. That's true. Yeah. We're not just Disney shills now.
But give them time.
That said, Disney, my phone's on. it's just muted. This is a big week, obviously, with the Disney merger going official. We're going to get into some stuff that's coming from that. If you like watching our show, be sure to rate, subscribe. Click the buttons, all of them, whichever platform you're on, leave us a rating, a review. All of it helps get more people to find this show and get their Marvel news. You can follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, which we've got Colt Badeau. Thank you, Colt, tweeting from the Star Jammer. And thank you to our engineer in the booth, Bree Anna. If I can't come up with one on the spot, I can now just Kreeify anyone's name. It's a sweet workaround.
I was going to call her Brie Larson, but Brianna is probably better.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's just dive right in to the big story of the week, which the news broke last Friday. And honestly, we usually are like, oh, the news broke so close to our show. Can you imagine if we had to cover this as well as the Endgame trailer and Captain Marvel a week ago? James Gunn, the writer-director of Guardians Volume 1, Guardians Volume 2, is officially, shockingly, back in the director's chair for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Ah. And don't it feel good?
Yeah, finally. Goodness gracious, Disney finally got their head out of their butt.
It was a lot of people, including myself, I think we've talked about this story plenty on the program before, and we were pretty much set that he wasn't coming back. It's gonna be bad, but it was unfortunate, but it wasn't happening.
Yeah, a lot of times it's hard to convince corporations to reverse course on anything. I mean, obviously all the reactions people had, including people in the cast, it was something, but I don't know that I expected him to do it. It's certainly not at this point. So that really surprised me.
But in a good way.
Yeah, so to recap for anybody who didn't hear the news last week, what happened was Disney came out and they said that they were bringing him back on as director. They had basically decided that because of how well James Gunn had handled the situation, they were very open to him coming back, which is just goes to show you, be an adult, be respectful, be understanding, own your mistakes. That was the big thing, that he owned that he had messed up. And how they handled it was not great, but they also respected how he handled him getting let go.
I think it's hilarious. I mean, and you're right. Yeah, handle things respectfully, be an adult, take responsibility. Fine. Absolutely. Everyone should do that. But I wonder if it's more they were like, oh no, we don't like the direction this movie is going. We need James Gunn.
I mean, there may have been part of that. They may have been. So that's possible. So Alan Horn and Bob Iger were the ones who, I guess, had to make the decision. Yeah. That's Disney CEO Bob Iger and the president, Alan Horn. Because that's how far up this went. This was beyond Feige's decision.
Wow.
This is from the top brass. They had to. So according to Deadline, they met with Gunn on a bunch of times since he got fired.
Yeah.
And they... reportedly were persuaded by everything that he had said, by his public apologies and all that, and that was why they decided to let him back on the project. It could also be that the stories all say that they never met with any other directors. My instinct tells me that maybe they didn't meet with directors, but I bet you they put out calls and everyone was just like, no.
Yeah.
You don't, because there's no, for any director walking into that circumstance, there's no positive to be gained.
Yeah. I mean, and Taika Waititi, for having done Ragnarok, I think a lot of people thought that was a good choice. And he was very publicly said that, yeah, I'm not interested. I don't even know if he met with anyone. He just was like, yeah, I don't want to do it.
It's the kind of thing where he would probably be the best case scenario because he's in the family already Marvel. But you get the comparisons of, but it's not James Gunn's Guardians. Now it's Taika Waititi's Guardians. And what would it have been with this? And like, you don't want, it's the same problem that Ant-Man had. The original Ant-Man is you look at it and you're like, but what would Edgar Wright's Ant-Man have been? Because we want to see that. Even as much as like Peyton Reed's Ant-Man was good, I would love to see what Edgar Wright, a much more like stylized and specific filmmaker, could have done with that film.
Well, Taika even said that it's James Gunn. It has James Gunn written all over it. He's like, I'm not going to come in and change it and make it or like try to take over a project that's not mine. Like that just doesn't. It just doesn't make any sense. It's because he worked the entire script. They're going to keep the script and then get a different director. Like, it just, all of that makes sense.
And reportedly, Adam McKay had been approached, but he sort of hinted that they had talked to him, but, like, he was also like, I don't know. Then he said he wanted to make Silver Surfer, which, that could be cool.
That could be very cool.
I think from a corporate standpoint, I think that they were very cognizant of what's the public reaction to James Gunn doing Suicide Squad 2. People seem okay with it. Mm-hmm. There's not like, hey, but what about those tweets? Everybody seems cool with that. All right, let's put out the trial balloon. So I think we're going to use this script. Everybody cool? and then there's not much. They're like, okay, so now we're going to hire him back. And supposedly they had made the decision a little while ago, and they only announced it. Whereas, there had been the announcement that Bryan Singer was supposed to direct Red Sonja. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, actually, no, Bryan Singer is not directing Red Sonja. Because very different situations, I understand the allegations against them. But that was not received well. So I think that they were very mindful of all of that. Both of those situations.
And there's also, there's a huge difference between like some tweets and what Bryan Singer did.
Just in terms of allegations and public reaction, I think that they were watching how all of that played out. Yeah.
Yeah. And so James Gunn put out a statement, and I'll read it for you guys in case you're curious. I am tremendously grateful to every person out there who has supported me over the past few months. I am always learning and will continue to work at being the best human being I can be. I deeply appreciate Disney's decision, and I am excited to continue making films that investigate the ties of love that bind us all. I have been and continue to be incredibly humbled by your love and support. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Love to you all. He is probably dancing.
Yeah.
Some sweet late 80s tunes.
And probably gonna, maybe not really be on Twitter that much.
But he returned to Twitter.
Right. Interesting comment in the chat that I thought is worth reading from Nacho Man Andy Cabbage. Amazing name. I had to give you full credit for that. It's like Deadpool 1 and 2. Deadpool 1 by Tim Miller is better, in my opinion. They're noticeably different. They definitely feel very different.
I agree.
So yeah. I think Guardians 3 could still have been very good, depending on who did it. But the fact that you'll get the same guy who did the first two, I think have a lot of people breathing a sigh of relief. And look, Suicide Squad 2 might actually be good now. So you see, everybody wins in different fandoms across the board.
Hey, I liked Suicide Squad.
You would.
And we're not going to get into that. But it does bring up the other thing. So the part of this whole thing is James Gunn is attached to write Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah.
And that's not going away. So part of this whole deal, and part of why I imagine this took a little bit of time for them to announce, is that they worked it out with between Warner Brothers and Disney and Gunn. He is going to finish Suicide Squad 2 before they begin production on Guardians 3.
Mm.
So don't expect Guardians anytime soon, because not only does Suicide Squad 2 is filming this year, which means it's going to see, I believe its release is next year.
I think I've seen that.
And then, so that means Guardians won't start production until next year. But that also has caveats because Chris Pratt has a very busy shooting schedule because he's doing the next Jurassic World film that completes that trilogy. So mm-hmm. they have to make all of these things line up now, not to mention whatever stuff like Dave Bautista is working on. And mm-hmm.
don't forget how busy, you know, Zoe Saldana is.
Zoe Saldana. And Vin Diesel's got to record those three words.
Mantis is around, you know, so you could just do a Mantis movie, which I would see.
I would watch that.
Coordinating any shooting schedule for a film is very complicated, and this one is going to be even more so. But everyone signed on. I'm sure the cast, which was always supportive of him, is elated to have him back, especially Dave Bautista.
Yes. He was ready to not do the movie.
I will not come back. And then he's like, it's sort of in my contract.
If it's 2022, I'll still be just as I'll be even more excited because I'll have had more time to wait for it. And
I would rather wait for a better product.
Agreed.
Than have them try to rush something out just to please fans. Just give it time.
From the chat and the correction, I misspoke. He is he is writing and directing Suicide Squad 2, thus being super super busy.
Because if he was just writing it, then you know, he could turn it in and walk away.
Yeah. So. We will get Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 eventually.
Yeah.
We don't know when any film is coming out from Phase 4, except for Spider-Man, so...
Yeah, I mean, we have, like, an inkling on Eternals, but we don't really know.
Yeah. Speaking of moving to Phase 4, let's talk about Endgame here for a bit. They put out a new description. That's the news this week, guys.
Where do you see what else we have?
No, but it's actually so. I normally descriptions can be very spoilery, but like good news, this is not. It's a very clean description. Like the Russos are being very clear. Like they don't want to mess with how you're gonna see this film. The grave course of events. Set in motion by Thanos that wiped out half the universe and fractured the Avengers ranks. This is a really run-on sentence here, guys. All right, well, I'm going to start over at the top. Take a deep breath. Let's see if I can finish this.
That does not exist.
The grave course of events set in motion by Thanos that wiped out half the universe and fractured the Avengers ranks compels the remaining Avengers to take one final stand in Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films, Avengers Endgame.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that description gives us nothing.
So pretty much exactly what we knew before. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's like the official company... spotlight is for Endgame.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe if you were on the fence, that might convince you now to actually go see it.
Yeah, because if you weren't already...
You're like, oh, 22 movies?
Yeah, now. So Marvel Movie News audience, if you were thinking, maybe I'll skip this one, did that intrigue you?
Maybe they're trying to get people who haven't seen them all in. They're like, this is the culmination, guys.
Yeah. I think it's just to hype the press and stuff. Mainly, it's just like remind people like there are 22 movies that led to this one thing, which is insane.
And it's funny, we talked about trying to watch them all, and I wanted to watch them all. That's not going to happen. maybe after I watch Endgame like the third or fourth time, but then not the first time. Yeah, then I can
go
get
back
it in there.
And,
yeah.
and do a binge.
I want to.
I just... Last night started my pre-Endgame binge.
Now I imagine there's some you're going to leave off of the binge, or are you trying to get them all in the next month?
I mean, I don't watch them all actively. It's like, I have to do some writing, so I'll put it on these movies. But like, I do my check-ins with all of them. We've got a month to go.
We've got some time. Yeah, I've actually been doing the same thing. I redid Thor Ragnarok. I redid Infinity War.
I started with First Avenger.
Obviously not in order. Yeah, nice.
Well, this might be a good time to tease something that we don't have a day for yet, that we're actively trying to schedule to let people know.
You beat me to my transition.
Well, I didn't know you had it. I just...
nice.
But yeah, we are working on, just to pre-hype you guys, getting in some watch-alongs for... Not for everything. God knows we
yes,
don't have that
all
kind of
22
time.
Movies.
No!
Are you guys ready?
Don't commit us to
in
that.
In one sitting.
It's going to be like 87 hours.
Don't commit us to that.
No, we can't. We would love to, but we can't.
But we're going to try to schedule out watching the three Avengers movies. The Avengers, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Avengers Infinity War. We'll just sit down and watch it with you guys at some point. So we'll let you know at a future date when that stuff is scheduled.
My question is, if we do that, can we bring snacks?
I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to bring snacks.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
they make popcorn here, too.
Just don't...
You're allowed to bring snacks in.
Thank you!
Thanks for
just, this isn't an ASMR podcast, so keep it away from the mics. At least it's not yet. But it's, one thing's interesting. Kevin Feige was talking about... because he's doing all the interviews ahead of Endgame and everything and post-Captain Marvel. And he was talking to Empire Magazine, and he said that the... So he named... because, you know, we've had Phase 1, Phase 2, and Phase 3... but apparently, all of those together are the Infinity Saga. So, this is just one saga. What Hickman-level nonsense is this?
So we're going to have 22 movies in the second phase?
Wait, so the next saga will be 22
Well, it'll be 22. I mean, saga,
I actually don't know that you're going to get any... Like, that's the thing. This is such a unique type of, like, thing. I don't even know that Marvel would do... this kind of overarching thing again, not to this extent. Like, and how could you? How could you to find something else that would thread 22 movies the way the Infinity Stones have to like be dropped into like almost every film and like mm-hmm. be a part of it that just like mentioned it and then have all those things come together in one like big plot point. Is next to impossible, yeah. So I doubt that they would be able to recreate it, but it's the way that you kick off with, like, a major saga, and then you do, like, smaller ones, where you'll have, like, six films that, like, connect into one. And
yeah, like I could Doctor see them, Who seasons.
Right, I could see them doing, like, you know, Secret Wars, you know, big events,
yeah.
But not this level of, you know, like
Secret
you said.
Secret Wars would be cool.
Yeah.
Do House of M. Sorry.
Well, they have some properties that, that might help them with that.
Yeah, which brings us into our next... story, which is like something we've talked about enough and there's not really anything groundbreaking about it, but as of yesterday at midnight, it was yesterday when I was writing this, Disney officially owns 20th Century Fox and
what?
All of the things that come with that. Here we have a picture of like
Toy Story.
Walt Disney immediately updated their corporate website, and it's amazing that it's like they did it like that. And if you look at it now, Deadpool is right there on their front page, but you also have Bart Simpson up there.
I can't wait for the Bart Simpson Deadpool Robin Roberts crossover.
You have Avatar up there in the middle, Atlanta's on there, but like basically Disney is like, hey, look at us. Look at what we got. It's just crazy to see Bart Simpson behind the Walt Disney Company.
I know.
But, yeah, so Deadpool, the X-Men, the Fantastic Four...
Oh, my God.
...are all back in Feige's toy chest.
Oh, my God. I can see... Oh, I'm waiting for a good Fantastic Four movie, and I can see that being done really well. The only thing I'm hoping is when they do things like X-Men... like some of the X-Men stories, those tend to need to have a little bit of a darker tone. And I'm not saying it needs to be rated R or anything like that. I just kind of hope they keep that darker tone a little bit more than,
it'll be interesting. I mean, I think the MCU has proved flexible enough that, like, if you look at the difference between, like, yes, you have lighter fare, more family-oriented stuff like Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. But you also have darker trending. It's still PG-13. It still doesn't, like, get into, like, crazy, like, gore or anything.
Right.
But, like... Black Panther was a very adult movie in that mm-hmm. it dealt with very serious themes and political things that are real, like real world topics seen through the eyes of like superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you can still do that with the X-Men. I don't think you need to go like grimdark to do that.
No,
but you
absolutely
can do
not.
The MCU's like version of darker, more serious storylines.
They better not mess with Deadpool, though. That's all I'm saying. That stays rated
well,
R.
Well, they have said that they are open to doing R-rated films.
I know.
So that's the
Good.
Other part of it.
Yeah.
So it's not that those things that's out the window by any means. And I was talking about this with somebody the other day that I think that Deadpool. So the other part of this story, obviously now they have the rights, but we're not going to get Dark Phoenix is still coming out. It's not MCU, obviously, but the earliest that we could get by estimations of like people like with knowledge of the companies and like all this stuff, the earliest that we might get an MCU X-Men film would be 2021.
Okay.
Because That's basically not bad. Because they haven't legally been able to do any development until yesterday. Like, literally the day the deal closed, and now they can start officially doing development. That doesn't mean that Feige doesn't have, like, notes and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
ideas.
He's like, well, we could do that, and we could do that. But they weren't able to officially do anything until then.
Right, like, no script writing, no talking amongst each other.
No script writing, no hiring, no reaching out to actors or anything. Like, no official business could possibly, like, be done legally. So, but now they can. But I now, wonder... so now they're move. They can move forward. They can start like putting all those things together, writing deals for both X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Unless my crazy theory, my crazy conspiracy theory, that a Fantastic Four to Disney deal was already on the books before the merger.
So they already had that planned out. They have actors for the role.
I've talked about it before. It was my theory. Not that they necessarily had actors, but I think that they're based on like a lot of news stories that had been coming out for a while and what would make sense given like the Fantastic Four's like failure in Fan-Fortastic. It seemed like Disney had probably struck up a deal much like Sony's deal with Spider-Man Fox to let them do the Fantastic Four into the MCU with a similar licensing thing and distribution. My thought was that this was going to be a post-credits reveal for Endgame.
I think I remember you saying that. Yeah.
I love this theory because it makes me happy. But so it would have been something that was already in place, but why, like, yeah, the merger's coming so people know that they're going to get Fantastic Four, but why tell people that it's coming if it's already a secret? And then like you just like in one of the what I imagine are like 7 post-credit sequences in Endgame, you see a rock hand and one that stretches and then one catches fire and then one disappears.
And look,
that's my theory.
Now that the deal's done, there's a couple months to film a brand new post-credit scene for Dark Phoenix. That, who knows how that ends? Maybe Phoenix destroys everything. And, who comes and picks up the pieces? So,
and then
I'm holding it.
Phase 4 kicks off with Avengers versus X-Men.
Oh, does yes, that please. Mean we're going to get Quicksilver into the MCU, but with...
No one knows. At this
Evan
point.
Peters is Quicksilver?
Evan Peters, yeah.
I doubt it.
I think they're going to recast everyone.
No, I was thinking that, and I was wondering if they're going to recast everyone, which maybe... you can't do that.
But I actually think, so this is like a, with no basis for this. Sorry.
You're fine. It was the same random thought.
So I think that I think they're going to introduce the X-Men into the MCU via Deadpool. Hear me out on this theory. You're not going to get rid of Deadpool. It was too successful. It's the right incarnation of that character. Mm-hmm. But Deadpool is also somebody who breaks the fourth wall constantly. And I think you can literally go into Deadpool 3, whether you do X-Force, I think where you have to postpone X-Force or not. Yeah. You do Deadpool 3, and he literally like drags a new Wolverine or like new Professor X onto the screen and is like, we're doing this now. And then he just moves on with his movie. And then or they become a part of it and you do Deadpool Wolverine as a storyline. Use that to backdoor pilot the X-Men for the MCU.
Oh, that would
so,
be
like,
amazing.
Deadpool, you can literally make him universe jump into the MCU and just call it out to the screen because that's the character.
Right.
So I think that's the cleanest way to keep him around. If you want Deadpool in the MCU, that's the best way to do it. Otherwise, you can just keep Deadpool in his own little mini pocket universe, which also works.
Yeah. It does, but I think that would be really cool. And I really like this comment here because that would be awesome. Is Dave's or Davies Golden Duck? I want to see Storm with Black Panther. Can we?
I mean, it worked out so well in the comics. So sure. Let's go ahead and do that.
It would be fun to see.
Yes, that would actually be fun. But Gamer Girl asks, what does this mean for New Mutants? I would say no one knows. Mm.
The current rumor is that New Mutants will see a release on Hulu. Sometime in the fall, probably around Halloween, because it's a horror movie.
Yes.
I doubt it's with all the creative issues back behind the scenes and with the merger, I doubt Disney's going to want to put a lot of money into marketing that.
Yeah.
And not to mention just like everything with distribution, all that. And now that they own 60% of Hulu, they can just put it out there and like make it a draw for their subscription services. Mm-hmm. They're not going to put it on Disney Plus because it doesn't fit that vibe, but it totally fits with Hulu. And it's a, it like, hey, we got a big budget X-Men movie on Hulu. Go pay your $12 a month.
Yeah, and I think the movie will come out in some form or another. I think the idea that it's just going to get scrapped, I think that they're far enough down the road that, you know, there must be a story that works to some extent. They just weren't thrilled with it. So I figure that we're going to see it. Joshua Wright in the chat has a comment. I saw one theory that Eternals is actually a stealth X-Men project. They couldn't call it that yet. I love theories like that. I don't think that's accurate, but I like the way he's thinking. Yeah. I love this kind of outside the box thing.
That is an insane theory, and I'm about it. but Game also, like, too. That would, if that was, but like, that's the thing. If that was true, that would violate antitrust laws.
Right, yeah.
I like Gamer Girl too. She says, I like that, Zach. Make Hulu the new Netflix for Disney. Put all the R-rated stuff on Hulu. I think that's a great idea.
I that's what I'm hoping it becomes. Like, I don't think there's any reason you can't. Like, I think that's where Disney is going to unless they decide that they're going to make an adult section of Disney Plus where mm-hmm. they put stuff like Alien and all of the Fox movies that they now have the rights to. I think that's what's going to end up happening, is that Hulu is going to be where all of the 20th Century Fox and more adult oriented content that Disney owns is going to be available for streaming, while Disney Plus gets the family friendly and would that like pushing the boundaries of that, because you obviously are going to have the more adult like Disney films that still hit basically PG-13.
Yeah.
Disney Plus is going to cap out at PG-13, and anything that's R is going to wind up on Hulu, which I'm hoping is where we get more of our street level heroes back, like mm-hmm. Heroes for Hire and all those guys.
The superhero that we're about to get out of my brain is completely Shang-Chi. Why is my brain not working?
Shang-Chi.
Yes, Shang-Chi. Hasn't he worked with Heroes for Hire?
At some point.
It's that time period where I'm sure he and Iron Fist certainly teamed up. I would be shocked if they didn't.
I can't remember the run, but I'm almost certain that he did. Yeah. For a time, but he's also Shang-Chi has also worked
movie,
with
but...
Shang-Chi's also been an Avenger. Like, he's worked with plenty of different organizations because he's a smaller character, and he's one that like is available generally for writers to take on and like bring into new circumstances. So he's flexible in that way.
I just think that would be fun. Have him make the movie and then just have him pop up everywhere.
That's sort of the thing with Disney Plus that we might get. That's the sort of the fun of it, is with all of this, with Disney sort of like bringing it all together and studios starting to make TV programs and miniseries, you can get stuff where they're making TV shows and then bringing in a character for a minute. Like, I want the Spider-Man. I want, like, you can literally just do a two-in-one. The way you used to do in comics, where you can do Spider-Man and Daredevil, and they have a one-off adventure, like an annual.
Yeah.
There's no reason you can't do that.
I mean, there were two series. There was Marvel Team-Up and two-in-one. It was two-in-one was The Thing and somebody, and Team-Up essentially was Spidey and somebody. And please do lots of that. That's what I would like.
I would love to see that. Some other news this week, that some minor casting news for Black Widow. It came out this week. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but Florence Pugh. Pug or Pug? I'm sorry, I don't know how. Most recently you might have seen in the wrestling movie Fighting With My Family.
I don't think I saw that.
It just came out.
Oh, okay.
Like a couple weeks ago. She's in that, and she is rumored to be cast in an unknown role in Black Widow. Young woman, probably, if I was going to guess on casting, probably just another member of the Red Room.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a bunch of like young female assassins that probably all have a similar like look about them, because mm-hmm. that's sort of what the Red Room was unleashing like agents into the world that all looked alike. So probably just playing a Red Room person. I can't say I'm very familiar with her work, but do you guys have any other thoughts on this?
No, I'm just excited that we're getting more pieces of it, because it makes me more excited to watch the movie in general, because you're like, oh, okay, so now I can put faces to what I'm going to go see. It just kind of hypes you up for it, really.
Yeah, even though you don't know who anybody's going to play, it makes it more tangible. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, okay, this is, you know, they're actually working on it. They're not telling us when we're going to see it, any of that, but that's great to know.
And it's exciting just because, like, there's a part of me that, like, still, like, is like, are you really going to make a Black Widow movie? Like, I don't believe them yet.
Yeah.
Because they haven't officially announced.
Right.
Like, we only know all this stuff because of essentially press leaks and, like, because of inside industry stuff. But they haven't officially announced any of this. Like, literally, they haven't officially announced, like Doctor Strange 2. They're just like, we're casting people for it. Or, like, we're hiring the writer and the director for it. Like, that's it. But they haven't, like, announced, like, this is it, and it's coming out here, and stuff like that.
I also just looked up how to pronounce the last name, and it looks like it's Pew.
Pew? Oh, so I guessed twice and was wrong. Twice.
Good job, Zach. Good thing we have Bree in the booth. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, thank you, Bree, Anna. So, real quick, let's do we have a small Marvel TV time story. Then we're going to guitar riff.
I know, it's the fun part.
Well, we didn't plug in the amp. That's the problem, you know.
It's an acoustic guitar. I thought there wasn't an amp.
Well, you got to be able to hear it.
Yeah, you still have to get your unplugged to figure out how to say the last name, Pew.
That was important information.
If you want to vibe and then say it again, give me 5 seconds.
That's okay. We'll just move into the story. So this is, for any of our wealthy listeners, this may be of special interest to you. But apparently, with Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist having been canceled, those shows are going to be auctioning off a ton of their props and costumes in an upcoming live and online auction from PropStore.com. You can go if you want to know more, PropStore.com/Marvel. If anybody wants to be a benefactor of me, Zia, and Christian to getting ourselves stuff like the mask that Iron Fist wears.
Why I wore the shirt today for those on YouTube. It's because I need that mask. I will wear it every week on this show if somebody helps me pay
for
it.
And look, if you get cool props, we'll put it up here in the studio and everyone can enjoy it. We're going to start a GoFundMe page.
Yes, go fund me for us to get Marvel up. I imagine these things are going to be going very high. These can be really fun, like auctions. Like I've seen these things before. It's like everything from like, oh, these candlesticks that were in the background of this shot, or these books that were in this scene.
Yeah.
Like costumes for every character that you can imagine. Like, or you buy a jacket, or you buy a toy that somebody was holding, a weapon, all of these things.
Oh, the weapons would be cool.
Yeah.
Just have a weapon wall with all of them mounted.
I can imagine that Luke Cage's bullet ridden hoodies are going to be
that
fetching
would be awesome.
They probably have a Mr. Rogers closet just filled with them. That to be like, which one do you want?
Oh my God. Cause can you imagine how many takes and how many different ones they had to use?
That's true.
It is sort of bittersweet because this does sort of imply we're really not bringing these shows back. Yeah. We don't even need the costumes. But yeah, you could buy the Red Daredevil suit. You could buy that. That's a thing.
Could you buy it and just wear it around?
I mean, if you're going to buy it, you better wear it.
Yeah.
Like a few of the things that they have just on the list. You could buy Misty Knight's bionic arm.
Yes, please.
By the way, I want it.
Stardrew has volunteered to knit me an Iron Fist mask. I will take that, and I probably won't wear it every week because it'll be itchy, but I will wear it on one show for the entire show if someone knits me an Iron Fist mask.
Oh, man, you could buy the Nelson and Murdoch sign.
Oh, I do want that.
Oh.
The swear jar. you don't have to fight over it. You just have to spend a ton of money.
Hmm.
But anyway, if you guys want to check out that more of that stuff.
That's where I start selling organs to get props.
But with that, that's all really the news for this week. Yeah. Not a ton of stuff. Like, it's probably going to be a little slow as we build up towards Endgame. But I think that means it's time for Doom's Question Corner. Which was way more impressive to talk like that when I was in the booth.
Right.
And you couldn't see me. Now you can see me and it just is like, I feel self-conscious.
That was perfect, Zach.
All right. So, if you guys haven't heard the show while we started this segment, this is our new segment where we are taking questions every week from you guys, the listeners. We want to make sure that we have a chance to talk to you as many weeks as possible. Last week was crazy packed, so we didn't get to it. But to take your questions and talk about those things. So let's start with one that I meant to talk about last week, but we didn't get a chance, from Ashley Marchechuka. Oh, I'm so sorry. Since Captain Marvel officially came, when the sequel is greenlit, what villain would you like to see up against either Carol or Monica?
I think I already said this last week, but I'm going to say it again because it'd be real cool, is Galactus.
Interesting.
I think that'd be really fun. Because he's like next level Thanos.
Yeah.
He will eat your planet.
Galactus, like, Galactus, I the only reason I don't want to see that is because I want, like, that Galactus is who I could see being our next, like, big build up in a big, yeah, like, saga where you get the Fantastic Four and you do, like, I know you don't want to dive right back into Silver Surfer for the Fantastic Four, but, like, doing a Silver Surfer story and then to bring Galactus in after that, like, with his heralds could be really fun.
Yeah, I mean, Galactus, would be, you know, something that requires a team-up, I think.
Yeah,
so,
but she fails against him first, and then comes back with everybody else.
Mm. Or she fights him. Or she fights him against another planet, as he's, like, going to consume a different planet, exactly, than Earth.
And then she comes to Earth, and she's like, guys, Galactus is coming.
Yeah. So that could be, like, she accidentally leads him back. The other question that has to come along with this is the, like, and we don't know, is the sequel going to be set post Captain Marvel and pre Endgame, or are we going to pick up after Endgame?
I kind of hope it's after Endgame.
Yeah, I think that would be the smart money, but obviously there are, what, 20 years of stories to tell from, yep, you know, like, where she's been and you know, how she wasn't aware of what Thanos was up to collecting Infinity Stones, which most people seem to know, but she was very busy. So I'd like to know what she was doing, but I would be way more excited for something that is in the present continuity.
The thing that I could see is if it's, like, just following on what was in Captain Marvel, they seem to hint at a sequel that has Ronan tracking Captain Marvel, right, where that he's trying to capture. Yeah. So you could, like, that could be, like, your more simple, like, it's not a big new villain, but it makes sense based on what happened in Captain Marvel, that we pick up and see her having to deal with the fallout of what she just did with the Kree Empire hunting her, while trying to protect Talos and the Kree. But then and the Skrulls, you could also, in that sort of, to me, it's sort of a course correct, and get in some more radical Skrulls in there, where you could deal more with the Kree-Skrull War as like the Kree-Skrull War becomes more of the bad guy in that circumstance, where you do sort of make it so that there are very evil Skrulls out there that we have to look for, and that teases you towards a secret invasion down, yes, the line. Because right now the Skrulls seem like good guys to us, so a secret invasion feels weird.
It's weird that, mm-hmm, we've only met the good guy Skrulls and not the, you know, the sleeper agents, the, yes, who I want most of all, Super Skrull, is who I, yeah, would be very excited to see. I'll wait, but I do want him.
Yeah, that could be cool. If we're going to pick up afterwards, I mean, there's no, the Kree-Skrull War is not going anywhere, yeah, let's be honest. but so you could do that even post-Endgame. You could also, I was thinking the Brood as like a random one.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, Carol has a history with the Brood. That's where her binary character came from. They basically experimented on her and accelerated her DNA, and that's how she became binary. And the binary level of power is very consistent with this Captain Marvel. Ms. Marvel was never as powerful as Captain Marvel that we see in the movies. So, you know, it works. But I'd actually, yeah, I mean, I to me, that's an X-Men story. So I really want to see the Brood and the X-Men. And I don't need that in the first X-Men movie we get. But Carol can come visit, though. I think that would be fun.
Fair enough. We've got to ask a bunch of casting questions this week, and those are always fun. And since we were talking about Disney and getting, like, a lot of their rights back and everything, there's rumors about Namor coming in for, like, Black Panther 2 and stuff like that. Do you guys have any thoughts on fan casting for Namor?
Oh, man.
I'll kick it off because I thought about this. I would love to see Daniel Day-Kim.
From Lost.
From Lost, who played Jin.
Yeah. And Hawaii Five-0. And Hawaii Five-0,
yeah. But mainly from Lost.
Yeah.
I think he would be a fantastic Namor. He has a really good, strong presence. I think he would play a more like MCU type of Namor, where he can be a little more jokey, but he also can be extremely serious and angry. If you're a Lost fan, you saw him get angry.
Yes.
Lots. And like, so that kind of Namor I think would be wonderful for him.
You know, because I know that he can rock pointed ears well, I am actually going to say Ethan Peck, who is currently playing Spock on Star Trek Discovery, because I can visualize him as Namor. I can see it. But I don't have an actor that immediately that I've been thinking about, like, oh, if we ever get Namor. But just to get him would be amazing. Yeah.
I'm envisioning same sort of thing. I haven't like thought about it, but Zachary Quinto, I feel like.
Because he was Spock too?
Yeah, well, because right. I had that thought before you said that. I'm not even joking.
So we can only cast people we've seen with pointy ears.
With pointy ears, okay. Duh. Or Lee, just do it with Lee Pace. Right, he was in paint before, so you never. Yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn had pointy ears as a Skrull, so yeah, you know, put him in the mix. He won't be green this time.
Oh boy. But we've already seen him. He's like the I don't know, not director, but he's like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the 90s. What else do we have? TJM Soccer wants to know, what do you think the MCU would look like if they had all of the rights when they started? So this is a really interesting question to me.
Yeah.
So basically, like, go back to 2008. What if Feige had the X-Men? What if he had Spider-Man? What if he had the Fantastic Four? Like, had everything in the toy chest to start off. And I would hesitate. I would say that, like, I think that we might not have gotten the MCU the way we did.
I don't think so.
I think you would be leaning a lot more on Spider-Man. Like, because here's the thing, there's still a sense of, like, this is one of those things where you make more with, like, having less. Because part of why we got Iron Man in 2008 was that Disney, or not Disney at the time, but just Marvel Studios, was looking at, okay, well, we got to get in on, we're Marvel, we got to get in on the superhero movies. Like, we already sold off the rights to our biggest people, like Spider-Man, Fantastic Four is over there. Like, what are we gonna do? The X-Men's like out of our control. All of our biggest names. So who do we have? Like, we have Captain America, we have the Hulk, we have Iron Man. And it seems crazy nowadays, but nobody knew who Iron Man was in 2007.
No,
unless you were a big Aussie fan. Sorry.
Sure, I think if they had everybody. We still to this day wouldn't have gotten an Ant-Man movie. He would have probably shown up in an Avengers movie. I think that Iron Man also would have shown up as an Avenger, but not in a standalone movie, not at first.
Weirdly, actually, I think you would have gotten an Ant-Man movie faster because Edgar Wright was already in production or in like development on it in 2008.
Really? Interesting.
So Edgar Wright just liked Ant-Man and wanted to make an Ant-Man movie. He was already like, hey, can I do this? At like when this all started. Well, and it was only because of the success of the MCU that his Ant-Man movie got shelved back, because it was suddenly like, well, we're doing all these things now, and now we have this Avengers thing that we're doing, and it's a big project. And so Ant-Man has to take a backseat because we don't want to focus on that. So weirdly enough, you would have gotten Ant-Man sooner. And you would have probably got Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. But I think you would have started off, it wouldn't have built the slow build that we got the way that it would have unfortunately hit more, I think, like closer to what you saw with Justice League. Maybe not quite as like trying to like speed it all up too fast, but because you would have started with Spider-Man. You would have been doing X-Men movies.
Yeah.
You would have been doing, and like Iron Man and Captain America would have taken a back seat. Those would have been like years away at that point. So I think you don't get an Avengers until maybe like 2016. Like, not with the core Avengers group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they still would have sort of structured, you know, the phases about the same. I think you still would have had, you know, a big Infinity War style event. It's just the players would have been completely different. It would have been a lot more like the, you know, the Infinity War, the Infinity Gauntlet, like comics, really.
I think what you would have gotten is you would have gotten, like, Spider-Man popping up in an Avengers movie. Or yeah. in an X-Men movie. Like, something fun like that. Or rather the other way around. Like, you would have gotten an X-Men character popping up in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then maybe you get like a hint of Iron Man, and if people are interested, then they make the movie.
Well, and then you have to think, would casting be completely different? Like, would we get Hugh Jackman as Wolverine still? Would we get, for Ant-Man, if it was made then, would we get Paul Rudd for Ant-Man? So then you even have to think of it in terms of that. They might be cast completely differently, which is an odd thought. Who was it that was they were talking about casting instead of Hugh Jackman?
It was supposed to be Doug Ray Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he passed, actually. I forget what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating story. No one knew who Hugh Jackman was.
Yeah.
You know, so it was such an odd choice.
That musical guy?
Yeah, sure.
Right. And I remember people being upset because he was too tall and Wolverine is supposed to be shorter and stockier.
I mean,
but now you can't picture anyone else as Wolverine. I can't.
Right.
Jeez.
I wanted to jump in because in the chat, Sky Patterson he just basically regurgitated all these casting ideas for X-Men, so I want to go through them really fast. Ralph Fiennes as Professor X.
Nice.
Christoph Waltz as Magneto. Ooh. Janelle Monáe as Storm. Ansel Elgort as Cyclops. Joel Edgerton as Wolverine. Dylan O'Brien as Iceman. Schwarzy Ronan, I know I said her name wrong, as Jean Grey. That's his X-Men. So I like that he okay. cast all those people.
Yeah.
So what was that, Brie?
Saoirse Ronan.
I was close,
it's
right?
It's Irish, it's Gaelic, it makes no sense.
Yeah. Trish. Yeah. You know, Lady Bird Ronan, that's the one I'm talking about, her. But anyway, I liked the amount of thought that he put into that.
He's like, I got it all, don't worry about it, guys.
But yeah, so that's really an interesting thing to think about. Like,
yeah.
It's one of those things where sometimes you want to have, when you force people to work with less, they'll come up with even cooler things because they have to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, and somebody in the chat was saying, how did anybody not know who Iron Man was? I mean, think about, like, you know, sure, I knew who Iron Man was because I read Marvel Comics. There are a lot of people who, you know, casually, like, yeah, they know who Superman is. They know who Spider-Man is. You know, they don't know that deep. People don't even necessarily know who Captain America is before these movies.
It's something that I'll have that moment every couple of weeks when I'm having a conversation with somebody, especially these days as we get closer and closer to Endgame. Because people are talking about Marvel, and they're like, oh, yeah, this, and I'll, like, say something, and they're like, wait, really? And it's the most baseline MCU thing, like, talking about the Tesseract, and like, oh, yeah, and it had an Infinity Stone in it. They're like, oh.
You're like, did you even watch them?
But the thing is, like, and in some cases, no. Like, that's the thing. This is our favorite thing. Like, these are the things that we love to talk
about.
You just
assume that everyone else
knows. You have to remember that not everybody does. And it's easy to forget because Marvel fans are so everywhere nowadays. Yeah. And, like, the toys are in Target and all that. And it's it's weird to see Captain Marvel toys on the shelf and Black Widow toys on the shelf. It's weird, especially for me, to see Ant-Man and the Wasp toys everywhere. I spent years having to explain who in the hell those characters were to people.
I will openly admit that before Marvel movies, I knew none of these characters. And I love Marvel movies now, and I love listening to podcasts like your guys's so that I can get more informed on everything. But I didn't read comics, so I didn't know anything. But what I'd seen, like X-Men, I knew because of the cartoon.
Yeah.
Made you a fan out of it, and that's the cool thing. And now you know, but there are still people that don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my wife was pretty much where, you know, Brie was before these movies, and that's how long I've been with her. These movies came out all while I've been dating and then married to my wife. You know, she didn't know most of these characters, and a lot of them, it's like, so what should I know beforehand? I'm like, just see the movie, and then we'll talk afterwards, you know, so because it's kind of fun that way.
But it is always interesting to see that kind of, thing in front of you where you're just like, oh yeah, so Iron Man was a fairly minor character. Like, yeah, in the comics he wasn't. He was like he was one of the founding members of the Avengers. But people who didn't read the comics, which is like not everybody reads comics, didn't know.
There was also an Iron Man cartoon in the
90s. There was.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
It wasn't very big.
There was also the Fantastic Four cartoon.
Yeah. I didn't watch Iron Man as a kid. Like, I'll be honest,
I definitely watched that.
But like,
because it was on.
Yeah, but it was a thing where it's like, other than reading comics. Didn't know. I've gotten this question from a bunch. So we've gotten the Fantastic Four casting question from a bunch of people. And that's so I felt, I feel like we need to address it because, like, it's always a good question. And I feel like this is a cop out, but I want the main Fantastic Four to be mostly unknowns.
Yeah.
Because they should feel like think about Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Like, he's so good because you didn't know him. You didn't have any attachment to him. Like, Chadwick Boseman had been in a few things before. Like, I had recognized him. Like, I saw 42. Yeah. But he wasn't a major player. And, like, fan casting is usually going to come down to people that, like, everyone is familiar with. I will say, on the flip side of that, I do know who I want to play Dr. Doom. Shocker. But in that case, I actually think having... And this part of it, I think having a bunch of unknowns as like a young Fantastic Four, because I do think they should be young on the young side. I guess Mr. Fantastic's a little older. But either way, I think them being on the younger side is not a bad thing in their 20s. But having a well-known, powerful actor in the role of Dr. Doom would make the disparity really interesting and really strong. And I think Javier Bardem is a perfect choice for Doom. He has that evil, that powerful look like about him and like the gravitas, but he also can play a good guy so that he can play both sides of that character, I think, perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just off the top of my head, I was thinking that it'd be great to see somebody like Liev Schreiber, even not necessarily as Dr. Doom, but I'd like to see him as a villain. You know, I think, you know, as bad as X-Men Origins Wolverine was, I thought he was really good as Sabretooth. So I'd like a do-over where he gets to actually be something in this new phase of the MCU. Just sort of thinking about that, but I would welcome him as Dr. Doom, though. You know, just thinking about who he might be able to be.
Yeah. Zia, did you have anyone for any of the characters?
Are you going to say Zachary Quinto again?
Yeah, Zachary Quinto should definitely be Mr. Fantastic because, of course. Gosh, I don't know. That's a really tough one. I would have to like sit and think about it and look through actors because off the top of my head, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is
I have to do research.
There's the John Krasinski, Emily Blunt rumors to play because, like, he had mentioned at some point that he would be down to play Mr. Fantastic.
And she could be
play Reed Richards. And, yeah. And then they're married. And then Emily Blunt said, like, she would be down to play Sue. Which, like, I will say, as far as, like, known people goes, that could be really cool.
Yeah.
John Krasinski, I think, would play a great Reed Richards. He does have that, like, powerful. He does have a presence.
Yeah.
He's maybe a little too funny to play a character who doesn't understand humor.
Right.
I don't know if I need Reed mugging for the camera quite that much, actually.
That's the only thing, is that, like, Reed Richards is somebody who is... You could almost play him on the spectrum, the amount that he's
absolutely
into science.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that, like, they never do that with the character, but you could go that direction, and it would totally fit his persona to play him on the spectrum, where he's just focused on work, and when he's focused on work, that's all that's going on in his. He can't even focus on anything else, and that would also like lean into the brilliance of his mind. So I'm excited about the potential of a Fantastic Four movie. I part of me still hopes that they also do like what Noah Hawley was planning for the Doom movie. Lots of things. But that's going to wrap it up for Doom's Question Corner, a very appropriate way to wrap up.
Of course, talking Doom!
But thank you guys so much for joining us this week and every week here on Marvel Movie News. Be sure to rate, subscribe, like, comment, all those things. Until next week, Christian, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ and the sister show that Zia and I do over on the AfterBuzz Network, Marvel TV Weekly. On Tuesday, I did a special sit-down with X-Men creator, new X-Men longtime writer Chris Claremont. We talked a lot about Carol Danvers, whom he wrote a lot. Some touched on very controversial things that happened to the character at the hands of other writers and how he kind of stood up for her. We also talked about some of the things he'd like to see from a Disney-Fox merger, including some interesting ways to incorporate X-Men into, say, Carol Danvers' life. So check that out. It's on YouTube and everywhere you would find all these shows. That's Marvel TV Weekly. And then regularly Sundays with Zia here.
Zia, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_land. It's XIA_land. And I was not invited to the cool Chris Claremont interview. You were so working. You won't see me on that. I was working.
All right, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. And also be sure to check out my other podcast, Ships in the Night, where we take fictional couples and we just decide what their love lives would be, even though they're from different universes. Like, what's this week when we talked about what if Scrooge McDuck and Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob got together?
Oh, my God.
That's the kind of stuff that I do with my life, guys. That's called Ships in the Night. All right, guys. This has been Marvel Movie News. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not